Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. If you drive a 2017 or newer vehicle, their enhanced process allows higher than average appraisals. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the Calgary airport.
All right, the crazy roller coaster ride that has been the Flames season took another swing, this time an upswing on Saturday afternoon. 6-3 win in our nation's capital to bounce back from a 6-1 loss on Thursday. And now third consecutive game for the Flames against the Senators as we welcome you back to the program. It's Pat Steinberg, Will Nault, and now the radio voice of the Calgary Flames, Derek Wills, joins us to complete our daily Flames roundtable. In that 6-3 win on Saturday afternoon, Flames went back to their bubble lines from the summertime, including Elias Lindholm on the right side with Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau, Michael Backlund back with Mangiapane and Tkachuk, and Sam Bennett back between Milan Lucic and Dylan Dubé. They tried something else for 21 games. They really tried to give a run for Elias Lindholm down the middle for those first 21 games, but went back to old reliable on Saturday. Is this the best thing for the team for the rest of the season?
Well, right now it's the best thing for the team, in my opinion. As for the rest of the season, it's difficult to say, Pat, because what have I been saying since the offseason when talking about moving Elias Lindholm from center to right wing? That, sure, go ahead and do it, but center is arguably your deepest position, and right wing is definitely your shallowest position. And that's kind of how it's played out. You know, during the offseason, they brought in Josh Levo and Dominic Simon, hoping one or both of them could play top 6 minutes. And to this point, they haven't been able to do that. Let me ask you guys this question. How many top nine right wingers do the Flames have on their roster?
True right wingers, probably one.
And who's that?
Elias Lindholm.
Right. And his natural position is center. But yeah, as I've said 1,000 times, he's their number one centerman and he's their number one right winger. Because Andrew Mangiapane really is the only player who has been put on the right side of a top two line this season and done enough to stay there. Sam Bennett's been good at times. Dylan Dubé's been good at times. I think you guys would agree we haven't seen enough from Josh Levo and Dominic Simon really at any time. So it for me just comes back to, do I think Elias Lindholm is their number one centerman? Yes. Do I think he should be there long term? Yeah, once they add some pieces on the right side, whether they do that internally through growth or externally by making a trade or via free agency, right now I just don't think they have enough on the right side to move their best right winger to center, or I guess in this case to leave their best right winger at center, because even without Elias Lindholm up the middle, guys, you've still got Sean Monahan, Michael Backlund, Sam Bennett, and hopefully sometime soon, Derek Ryan. I like the Flames 1-4 at center. Can they win a Stanley Cup with Sean Monahan as their number one centerman and Michael Backlund as their number two guy? Maybe not. We certainly haven't seen evidence of that to this point in their careers. But what I know is that they just don't have enough on the right side right now to leave Lindholm at center. And I think Jeff Ward did the right thing putting those bubble lines back together on Saturday, and it helped the Flames in a 6-3 win.
To dumb down your question, Pat, I mean, I don't think this team has a lot of cap space to be going and acquiring anybody, certainly not anyone that would be on the top six on the right side. I've said it before. I think they certainly need an elite right shot forward, but they don't have one, and I don't know if one's available. So to answer your question, I think that, yes, this is probably the best way to go for the rest of the season, and that's because for the first half of the year, I haven't seen it from Levo or Simone or even Bennett when he's been in that spot. Bennett has been better suited as the team's number three center with Dubé and Lucic. So, yeah, I think to answer your question and to really dumb it down and simplify it, I don't know if they have any other choice, Pat, in terms of best course action from now to the end of the season. I think this is the best that they can do because we've seen the other way. Yes, only a 22 or 23 game sample, but it's 500 hockey, and at times been worse than that. So you got to go back to at least what works for you in the regular season.
Yeah, it's a big picture, small picture thing. I mean, as it stands right now, yeah, this is probably the best way to go. And until it's proven that it doesn't work all of a sudden, or if it starts to go really stagnant, maybe you do make some changes. But I mean, for me, you know how staunch and how adamant I was on the idea of Lindholm playing center, and I remain very adamant that he is their best chance to have a number one center, and I don't think they're truly going anywhere until they have that. And I do think that that window is starting to close a little bit, not slam shut, but I do think it's been wide open and maybe now starting to come down a little bit. And I think that they need a number one center if they're ever going to truly get to where they want to be. In saying that, you tried. I just, to the point that you had been making going all the way back to the summertime, Derek, I didn't think the drop-off at right wing would be as detrimental without Lindholm there as it has turned out to be. And I think that what we've seen right now, and kind of to drive home your point, is that the drop-off on the right side without Lindholm is far bigger and far more detrimental than the drop-off without Lindholm playing center. And that's kind of what it comes down to. And if they want to have a shot of making a big acquisition that can push them over the top of the trade deadline, they probably do have to go back to this for the time being. And if they want to get to the playoffs and see if Monahan centering a top line can get over and maybe change the narrative, they got to get there. So I get it. It's disappointing in a lot of ways. I don't think it's the wrong decision, but it's disappointing that Levo and Simone or Bennett or whoever you want to talk about hasn't been able to step in and truly play that role on the right side with Monahan and Gaudreau. But, I mean, look, Monahan's got one 5-on-5 goal this year. You need more at 5-on-5 from both him and Gaudreau, and I think you're going to get that with Lindholm back with that line. So it's not necessarily the desired decision, but I do think it is the best decision as things stand right now.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is, guys, they just need more right wingers, like legitimate right shot right wingers, or at least guys who have spent the majority of their career playing on right wing to put in their tops.
Did we lose Derek?
Even Andrew Mangiapane, who certainly deserves to be in
the... I'm going to jump in, Derek. If you can reconnect, you sound like you're being
run over by a tractor.
A robot being run over by a tractor. Why don't you quickly pick up on that, Will? Or I can switch it up to the next topic if you're done, and we'll reconnect with Derek in just a second.
Yeah, I may as well. Here's we go to the next one.
It is robot Derek Wills, Will Nault, and Pat Steinberg along with you on our daily Calgary Flames roundtable. Derek's back. Pick up on what you're saying there, Derek, as we've got you back and you are less robotic now.
Yeah, did the aliens abduct me again?
Yes, and they were probing
didn't
you.
Didn't feel a thing. Yeah, I didn't feel a thing again. I'm just
very graphic, Pat.
Circling back to what I was saying earlier is that I just think that, while Elias Lindholm is your best centerman, he's also your best right winger. And when you look at who they've tried to play a top six role on the right side, it's, with the exception of Lindholm, been all centermen or left wingers. Mm-hmm. You know, Andrew Mangiapane's been really good in the top six. He's a left winger. Sam Bennett's a left winger. Dylan Dubé is a centerman or a left winger. So, you know, I think ideally, if everything had gone according to plan for Brad Treleving and Jeff Ward, one of or both of Josh Levo or Dominic Simon would have been able to step into a role playing on the right side in the top six. But to this point in the season, that hasn't happened. You know what would solve all of the Flames' problems, guys? If they traded for Jack Eichel and then just moved Elias Lindholm to the right side of his line permanently.
That would.
So if you guys can make that happen.
I tried my best on Friday. I really did. I tried my best on Friday. So
I know.
We'll see. Derek Wills, Will Nault, Pat Steinberg, Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable. So we know they made the line changes, which obviously was a big difference. But outside of that, what was the biggest difference from a 6-1 loss Thursday into a 6-3 win Saturday against the same opponent?
They were just way better in every way, shape, and form. I mean, mentally and physically. And I'm not making an excuse with what I'm about to say, because I don't think there's any way to excuse a 6-1 loss to the worst team in the league, at least point and point percentage wise. I don't think they're the team with the least amount of talent in the league. After watching the Red Wings last night, I think they can probably lay claim to that. But they just didn't look as tired as they did in the first of four straight games against the Senators on Thursday night. They had played 5 games in 7 nights. And again, I'm not making excuses, because you can't excuse what they did do and didn't do in a 5-goal loss to the Senators on Thursday. But they looked like a refreshed team on Saturday, got off to a great start, which, as we all know, has been a real challenge for this team. So scoring a couple of early goals and you know, giving them a chance to play with the lead instead of chasing like they've been doing for most of the season was really important. 5-on-5, I really liked their game. The only 3 goals they gave up on Saturday afternoon were all on the penalty kill, which I guess is probably a topic for another day. But their details were just way better. They looked way sharper to me. You know, they had a hard time breaking out of their zone on Thursday night. And, you know, they came out clean, and that's not just on the defensemen. It certainly is on them, but also on the forwards to make sure that they're doing what they need to do to help the defensemen come out of the zone and get through the neutral zone with some speed. And you know, I liked kind of the jump they had in their step on Saturday afternoon. And again, scoring an early goal, I think, helps. And I had a great chat with the captain before Saturday's game and asked him, you know, as far as I'm concerned, some pretty hard hitting questions. And he gave me some very honest answers. And what was great to see, and I think a lot of you, if you weren't watching the game on television, might have saw it in the highlights a little bit later on, but the captain was pretty animated before Saturday afternoon's game. You know, he looked like he was ready to go. And I think that when your leader has that mindset, it's easy to follow in his lead. So lots to like for me on Saturday afternoon. How about you guys?
I think the last part you just said is exactly what I was going to say, and that's pretty much all I need to say. Because I, quite frankly, Pat, I don't think the Sens were very good on Saturday. I don't think Matt Murray was very good, but hey, they took advantage, and you're playing the teams in front of you, and that's all the Calgary Flames can do. But for me, you asked the biggest difference from Thursday and Saturday. They had an engaged captain. They had a guy who was ready to lead that team, and they showed the clips from the warm-up on the TV broadcast. He was screaming at guys. He, for the first time in my life, I'm sure it's happened before, but he looked like he was pissed off, like he was ready to at least change or do something. And I thought he went out and had one of his better games on top of all that. So for me, you asked the biggest difference, and my response is they had an engaged captain. And I don't know how many times we've seen that this year.
I think there's a lot of things different. Even if you throw the opposition out the window, I thought that they were a little bit more of a ticked off bunch. You could see that right from the get-go. I think the captain was a big part of that, but I don't think he was alone in that. They scored early and they played with a lead for 56 straight minutes after trailing basically the entire time on Thursday. And this team has had a real issue in games of responding positively to adversity this season. And that's something that definitely needs to change. That's something that you don't want to continue. However, on the bright side, they've also done a pretty good job when they've been leading. And they've done a good job of being able to control games and swing them in their favor when they have a lead, and just haven't had enough of those leads this year. But they scored early, and I think that was a product of them being engaged. I don't think the Senators were ready to play, and the Flames took full advantage of it because they were ready to play. They did start on time, and to me, that's where it all started, Derek, is the fact that right from puck drop, they were ready to go, as they should have been. They got punched in the mouth on Thursday, and they did start on time, which is great for one game. We need to see it more. We need to see them do that on a regular basis. But yeah, that would be the biggest difference, is just like right from the get-go, right from puck drop, they were dialed in, they were engaged, they were urgent, and there was a feeling that this is a huge game for them, regardless of who the opponent is. It's just that hasn't been there enough this season. It was definitely there, though, on Saturday, and it was a big reason why you never got the feeling at any point on Saturday they were going to lose.
Yeah, and I'm glad you guys picked up on the Mark Giordano stuff as well, because it's just different than what we've seen from him in the past. And one of the questions that I asked him, and Pat, I'm not sure if we've had a chance to post the interview, but you know, for those who didn't hear it prior to Saturday's game, if we can post it, I'd really recommend that you have a listen to what the captain had to say. But one of the questions I asked him was, you know, for 900 plus games and long before the C was on your chest, you know, the hockey world has watched you lead by example on the ice. But what can you do as the captain of this hockey club to lead this team to a better place off the ice? And, you know, he was standing on the ice when he was vocal, but I'm guessing he was probably the same way inside of the dressing room before Saturday's matinee matchup. So good on Mark Giordano for maybe getting out of his comfort zone a little bit and doing what he had to do to get his team fired up and getting himself fired up to play. And, you know, the other thing for the Flames is they've struggled to score this season. And I know that 2018, 2019 was an anomaly for this team, but you know, goals came pretty easy for this group 2 years ago. And then look at how frustrated guys got when they were a lot harder to score last season. Well, they've been hard to score again this season. Mm-hmm. You know, the Flames prior to Saturday had scored one goal in five of their previous six games and had scored eight goals total in those six games. So to get six goals and for a number of their top players to get off the schneid offensively, that's going to be a real shot in the arm for them confidence-wise. And again, it's one game, and it's against the team that's at the bottom of the standings, not only in the North Division, but in the National Hockey League. So you take what you saw on Saturday with a grain of salt. But I'll finish this thought here. You've got to start somewhere. And I think that was a good place for the Flames to start. Mm-hmm.
All right, Mr. Wills, get here safely. We will see you in a couple of hours. Puck drop at 5 o'clock tonight. Thank you, sir.
All right, guys, we'll see you soon.
Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Visit mbcountryhills.ca to see current offers on all of the heart-pumping Mercedes-AMG models. Or visit them minutes from the Calgary airport.